Commissioner Mack?
Here.
Commissioner Martin?
Here.
And Vice Chair Keane?
Here. Join Mr. Martin in the pledge.
All please stand. Join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, agenda review. Is there any items on the order that anybody want to change? See no reason to change any?
No.
Okay, no. Community comments and suggestions. This is a time that anyone in the audience can address the commission on any item that is not on our agenda. Seeing none, I'll close the community comments. Written communications, see none tonight.
That's correct.
Okay. Consent agenda, approval of minutes for the March 3rd meeting. Is there any comments for the changes?
No comment?
No.
Okay. Have a motion. Can I get a motion to approve?
So move.
Seconded.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Motion carries. Okay. Public hearings, there are none. Non-public hearings. Consideration of certificate of compliance number 15002 and lot line adjustment 15002 located at 204 Largemont, applicant John Kent Kramer, representative Mr. Wagner. Matt.
Thank you, Vice Chair Keane, members of the Commission. Tonight you're considering certificate of compliance 15002 and lot line adjustment 15002, determining the legal status of a previous subdivision and adjusting lot lines between three lots, resulting in two lots. So here we have the property located at 204 Larchmont Drive. It's zoned fair. It's zoned single family, and it's located in the D2.4 overlay district. Surrounding land uses include residential, retail, and financial services. So a little bit of background about the property. This portion relates to the certificate of compliance. Parcel 1 and parcel 2 of Block 8 of the Valley View Tract were subdivided in 1926. Those are the two front lots directly adjacent to Larchmont. The rear lot is a portion of Lot 29 of the re-subdivision of the Ranchos subdivision, as well as a portion of Lot 75 of the Ranchos subdivision. Both of these two portions of the Ranchos map, the Lot 29 and Lot 75, were deeded off in 1952. This was prior to the city having subdivision regulations for the creation of four or fewer parcels, and therefore met the Subdivision Map Act at that time and are considered to be legal lots. With regard to the lot line adjustment, we have existing parcel sizes for Lot 1 and Lot 2 of about 6,000 square feet each, and lot widths of 60 and 50 linear feet, as well as lot depths of about 105 and 115. Parcel 2, the rear parcel, is 23,000 square feet with a lot width of 110 feet and lot depth of 215. The applicant is proposing to move the rear lot line of Lot 1 and joining, eliminating the center lot line between lots 1 and 2 to create one lot, moving that rear lot line at an angle back, resulting in two parcels. Parcel 1 would be 14,000 square feet or so, and with lot width and depth that meet the municipal code. Parcel 2 would remain the rear parcel. It would reduce down in size to about 22,000 square feet and would also meet the development code in terms of lot width and depth. So here's what we're talking about. We have existing lot 1, existing lot 2, and existing parcel 2. This center lot line between lots 1 and 2 would be eliminated, and this rear lot line along lots 1 and 2 would be moved at an angle that matches the front lot line. This does a few things. It accommodates the existing structure that's been built over time. This rear portion was added on back in the 80s. Currently, the structure covers the two different lot lines. So by combining lots 1 and 2, as well as by moving this rear lot line back at an angle, it gets this single structure on its own parcel, not crossing any lot lines, and cleans up an existing condition that's come about because of being part of a very old subdivision. With regard to CEQA, staff did review the project in compliance with the Environmental Quality Act, and we determined that it's categorically exempt per Section 15305A of the CEQA guidelines regarding minor lot line adjustments. And although public hearing is not required for this item, the agenda and staff report were both posted at City Hall and on the city's website on April 3rd, and staff has not received any comments on the project at this time. And with that, staff recommends that the Planning Commission approve Certificate of Compliance 15002 and Lot Line Adjustment 15002. And I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Thank you. Is there any questions, staff?
I just had one question. The new proposed lot line at the corner of what is the garage or the driveway, what's the setback there? I mean, it wasn't dimensioned on the plan.
Correct. It would be about 2 to 3 feet.
So it's not in conformance with what the required setback is?
Correct. So the structure itself, while the lot would become legally conforming, the structure itself would remain legally nonconforming. All future additions to the home would have to meet that setback requirement. But right now it's built across the property line, so it's already legally nonconforming.
It wouldn't just be better to go ahead and move that proposed line over far enough to make the setback requirement?
You could ask the applicant that question. It's my understanding that the residence on lots 1 and 2 has already been in escrow, and moving that lot line any further could impact that sale and that sort of thing. But you could ask the applicant that question.
Well, if they don't move it now and they go back to do any modifications to that existing residence and have to bring it into conformance, it's going to be worse than adjusting that line at the present time.
Well, they wouldn't have to bring the existing residence into conformance. They just wouldn't be able to add on within that setback. So they'd still have to meet the 10-foot rear yard setback on any new addition going forward. But they could maintain, being that it's a legally nonconforming structure, they could maintain it in its current configuration.
Okay. That's all I have.
Yeah, I'll just have a quick question. But the current ownership of parcels 1 and 2 are within the same name or the same individual?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, the applicant, that family owns actually what we'll call parcel 1, which is the new parcel that's being created, as well as parcel 2 and lot 3 of the Valley View tract, which is not depicted on this, or it is depicted on this map right here. They own that lot as well.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, a couple questions. The existing home, it fronts on Larchmont right now?
That's correct.
So that would be the front setback. So on Wesley Avenue and on the other side, that would be side and a corner lot setback. So in essence, this would be a rear setback requirement, right?
Correct.
Of 10 feet?
Yes.
Did staff or anyone look at the drainage issues in putting this property line there? Right now, it kind of slopes directly into the back of that home. And I think if, you know, a future home comes on parcel 2 and gets close to that property line, mm-hmm. parcel 1 is not going to have the ability to fix their drainage problem.
That is a good point. We didn't look at that. Staff didn't look at that specifically. The retaining wall that's existing and all of the existing site improvements that traverse both Parcel 1 and Parcel 2 were put in with drainage in mind. However, staff did not specifically look at if there's any maintenance or anything above that wall that needs to be done. That could be something, being that the property owner does own all of those parcels, that they could put in some kind of maintenance easement or maintenance agreement or something to that effect.
Which leads me to my next question. I know you spoke of an easement for access. How would you access Parcel 2?
Parcel 2 would take access from Larchmont Avenue via a 20-foot access easement on Lot 3 of the Valley View tract that would traverse up also across Parcel 1, since they still own that, and access Parcel 2 in this location.
So easement's not being proposed with a part of this proposal?
It is, actually. It's proposed. We have a draft agreement. Staff received a draft agreement for that. And a condition of approval, let's see. Condition of approval number 11 actually requires that be finalized and recorded to the satisfaction of the city attorney before this lot line adjustment map is final and recorded.
That was reviewed by the fire department, too, in terms of the width requirement?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have any other questions, but open for discussion when you're ready.
This is not a public hearing, but if the applicant would like to address the commission, I'd be glad to have you do that.
I guess. many years ago, in 1952, my father-in-law.
Your name and address, please. May I get your name and address?
I'm sorry. John Kramer, 600 South Via Avanti, Arroyo Grande. And I'm better known as the son-in-law. I'm married to the boss's daughter.
Thank you.
Anyway, in 1952, my father-in-law purchased the Roy Grande Truck Company, which was below on the corner where the Bank of America is today. We existed on that piece of property until 1981 when the bank purchased that property. In 52, to be close to his work, and since it was 24 hours a day normally, he bought those two lots, plus the adjoining lot to build his home on so he could traverse to dinner, to work, to dinner, back and forth. Over the years, it was 1,200 square foot to start with. Over the years, he expanded into putting a family room in, added some more living room, added some more on the bedroom, and then in 88 decided he was going to do a master suite on the back. During that time, I believe there's a Mr. McGillis, who was the engineer, or civil engineer locally, who did all the work on that lot. We have all the markers, all the monuments were in place at that time, and it was approved by the city. We have building permits. We have it all signed off. Why that was not recorded in 88, I don't know that. I have to assume, we'll blame it on Jim because Jim's gone. I'm still here. I didn't ask the question at the time, is everything done on that, or I'd have probably seen to it it got finished. But nevertheless, it was approved. The monuments were in place and have been in place and are still in place today with this lot line adjustment. So something went astray back in 88 when this was obviously approved and run through the city at that time. Other than that, I have nothing else. If you want to hear my life history here.
Do you have any questions, Mr. Kramer?
Thank you.
Okay, we'll bring it back to the commission for comments.
Well, I'll start off. It's always good when you do lot line adjustments to push the property lines around so everything conforms. And what I look at is are there any safety issues or issues for landowners down the line long after you sell the property or someone else takes ownership of the property. And I see a couple issues of concern. And one of them is drainage with the way the property line is now. And then emergency access. The first thing that people do when they acquire a lot is they put a fence around it. So if a fence goes exactly as proposed and showing where the existing middle fence, I don't see any way emergency vehicle can get in the backyard. You got a garage right on the property line. You got 2 feet from the garage to the main house, and now you got 3 feet from the corner of the house to possibly a chain link fence. When I looked at the grade topography there, once people take ownership, they're going to start bulldozing. They're going to put up retaining walls. They're going to put up stuff. And I really think either the building needs to conform and be a 10-foot setback for our development code, or the property line needs to be adjusted 10 feet so vehicle can get back there, or emergency vehicle or people can get back there in case there's emergency in the backyard. And that's my comment.
No comments.
Okay. As far as the drainage goes on that parcel two, new parcel two or whatever it is, the back parcel that's there, I would think that when it gets sold, and if it gets sold and somebody builds on it, then it's their responsibility to handle the drainage, not the person that it's being drained on. You're supposed to contain the drainage on your own property. Mm-hmm. So I really don't see the problem right now. Very possible there's a drainage problem, but I don't think it's this front property's responsibility for something that somebody builds on the back lot. It should be their responsibility to contain their own thing. That's my justification for the...
Just to be clear, I wasn't thinking about taking care of the drainage of the upper parcel. It's the water that currently comes down that parcel and how it's being trapped against the building. The water is going to continue its natural flow. It's going to get stuck on that building.
No more than it is now.
Correct. Yeah.
There is proper drainage.
Okay, any comments?
Well, I just want some clarification. Back to where is this parcel 2 going to take access? Is it off of Wesley? Or is it up at the upper?
The new parcel 2, the rear lot, takes access off of Larchmont Avenue via 20-foot, proposed 20-foot driveway access that traverses lot 3 of the Valley View tract, crosses this portion of the new parcel 1 and adjoins the new parcel 2.
Yeah, that wasn't indicated on our exhibit maps that we received, so needed clarification.
That's
when
great.
You're having that access easement there, can it be, and I know you can't condition it on there, but because it is a lot line adjustment, but how about if it's an emergency access easement also, then that resolves the problem of how you get to the backyard on the parcel 1?
Pardon me. That's another thought. Obviously, we wouldn't be able to condition that as for emergency purposes on this map, I don't believe. But if and when parcel 2 and or parcel 3 or parcel 2 in the rear lot and lot 3 are proposed to be developed because they're both vacant right now, they would be required at that time to meet all of those requirements. For example, if parcel... this access road might need to be red painted or fire laned in order to ensure that nobody on lot 3 parks there and blocks access to lot 2 in event of emergency.
So there's going to be an easement agreement established with this?
Correct.
Where you've got it highlighted?
Correct. And staff has a draft copy of it. We've looked at it. The city engineer feels that it meets the needs and intent, and it'll just be subject to approval by the city attorney.
And I agree, we can't condition them to put that on there as an emergency, but just as a common courtesy to the adjacent property owner, that might be something you want to include in that easement agreement so that you don't have to come back and redo it when you do development on parcel 2.
Correct.
Suggestion.
granting of an easement doesn't necessarily mean that's improved and emergency vehicles can go on it. So it's a future improvement that would be borne by parcel two in the back when it goes forward.
Yeah.
It could be 5 years, it could be 10 years from now. You don't know.
But the easement would be, as he's got it on the staff report, the easement would be recorded prior to the lot line adjustment being approved or finalized.
Okay, John, Matt, would you explain to the commission what you did to me about access for that new parcel, or not new parcel, off of Wesley? Why it's not, why do we need the easement?
Sure. So the obviously the existing lot line comes down far enough to where if you got, you know, forget about the fact that there's a house there. That parcel 2 had access from Wesley Avenue. Obviously, in the 80s when the addition was done, that blocked that part off, turned this portion into a what looks like a garage from the street. The moving of the lot line adjustment actually coincides, or the movement of this property line also coincides with the city's furthest extent of right-of-way on Wesley Avenue. Beyond this line, it becomes a private drive. And so basically the only opportunity for parcel 2 to gain access is from Larchmont. Luckily, the applicant owns this lot as well.
Okay.
That doesn't – I end up with another question. This lot 3, this third lot on Larchmont that is currently, I guess, under the same ownership but is also undeveloped, how large is that lot?
Approximately the same size as – lots 2 and – or lot 1 and 2, so roughly 6,000 square feet or so.
So the easement will certainly have an impact on their buildability area, but not keep typical residential unit from being built on that.
Correct. And, in fact, staff believes that what they would end up doing is taking both lots, taking access from the same driveway and not duplicating.
Yeah. Sharing a single driveway. And
any further discussion?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, I'd like to make a motion, but I'd like to make a motion that that property line conforms if we're moving property lines to 10 feet. So I'd like to make a approve the resolution. Planning Commission approved City Board of Grandy approving certify the compliance of number 15002 and lot line adjustment number 15002 located at 204 Larchmont Avenue applied for by John Kramer, with the exception that that property line in the rear rotates to a minimum of 10 feet from the existing structure.
Do I have a second?
I second it.
Okay, discussion. I just don't think it's necessary. I think that it's a non-conforming, a legally non-conforming situation, and moving that property line, other than what they've proposed, is not necessary. I don't see. I just don't see the justification for moving it farther than what's proposed. Is there any other discussion?
Well, I think this is the opportunity to bring it into conformance. There seems to be too many parcels, you know, historic parcels that are non-conforming, and there isn't anything you can do about them. But when you have one brought before the commission at this time, when you do have the availability to bring that into conformance so that, you know, the setback appeared to be, you know, about 2 feet. It didn't even meet a side yard setback, much less a rear yard. So my opinion is that if we can move the line back enough to bring that existing structure into conformance. When I drove by there and I saw the driveway, I thought that was a garage, but now you're saying that that is a master bedroom, so you've got it pushed right up against a property line, which, you know, doesn't even give you room to go in there and for maintenance if there was a fence put along there. That's my comment.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
And Vice Chair Keene?
No. Council?
Yes, so that's what the city engineer and I were just talking about. Obviously, anybody has the opportunity to appeal an approval or denial or even the imposition of a condition of approval to the city council from this point.
Okay. Moving on to 9B. Consideration of lot line adjustment 15001 located at 165 and 169 Pine Street. Staff report, please.
Absolutely. So this is the second lot line adjustment of tonight. It's adjusting lot lines between two parcels. The project is located on Pine Street. Parcel 1 is a flag lot that obviously has access from Pine Street, while Parcel 2 has direct access from Pine Street. The applicant of Parcel 1 has submitted the application, so the applicant being this parcel, to move the lot line, this rear 68 feet or so of lot line, and turn it south, essentially taking 3,500 square feet or so from Parcel 2 and adding it to Parcel 1, essentially taking a flag lot and turning it into a T. The proposed lot line adjustment would provide the applicant with additional parking for Parcel 1 as well as turnaround space for that property as well. The lot line adjustment would not result in either of the existing lots becoming nonconforming. The Staff Advisory Committee did review this project on March 25th. All members of the SAC were in support of the project, as well as included the limited conditions of approval that are included in the resolution. Staff reviewed the project in accordance with CEQA and determined that the same exemption applies, 15305A, regarding minor lot line adjustments. And again, tonight's agenda and staff report were posted on the city's website and at City Hall on April 3rd, and no comments have been received on this project. And with that, staff recommends that the Planning Commission approve lot line adjustment 15-001, and I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
No questions.
Is this parcel, the rear parcel, does it meet the fire department requirements as far as being within the area of a hydrant?
I didn't see
what the distance was.
Yes, the fire department did look at the parcel or did look at the lot line adjustment. They didn't recommend any additional hydrants or anything like that. Obviously, if the intensity of Parcel 1 were increased later on, i.e. Secondary dwelling unit or something was added, there might be some improvements needed, but there are no improvements needed at this time.
Is there a potential for another secondary dwelling unit on this?
There is the potential of a secondary dwelling unit. Currently, there's a accessory storage structure that would be absorbed into Parcel 1. That is being maintained as a storage structure. Staff would anticipate that if in the future somebody wanted to do a secondary dwelling unit, it would be in that location, but they'd have to comply with all municipal code requirements at that time.
That's all for me.
I'm not sure whether this question should be directed to staff or directed to the applicant. It looks like it's going to be a change in ownership on this parcel. Is there either an escrow or an agreement of some kind between the owners of these two different parcels? Is one is losing a significant, you know, it, albeit it's a rear section, but a significant portion of their lot, and the other one is gaining it?
There is no escrow that staff is aware of, but there, I would imagine that as the private interaction of the two lot line adjustments, there is probably some kind of transfer of money for the gaining of 3,600 square feet.
There's some accommodation. We have two willing participants.
Correct.
Even though it appears we have a single applicant.
Correct.
Both sides are in agreement and support the transaction.
Yes.
Thank you.
Not a public hearing, but any representative for this parcel, this project, would like to address the commission. Now would be the time.
Hi there. I'm speaking on behalf of Tricia Knight. My name is Nick Manzanares, and there's, and what you were saying.
Can I get your address, please?
123 Seacliff, Pismo.
Can you spell your last name, please?
M-A-N. Z-A-N-A-R-E-S.
Thank you.
Excuse me. Both property owners are agreeing to this, for this lot line adjustment. And, excuse me, that ancillary structure that's there, it's going to stay. There's no future plans for the applicant to modify that or do any work on it right now to take it outside of an ancillary structure. And I think that's pretty much it.
Okay. Any questions?
No.
No additional questions?
Okay. Bring it back for discussion. John, go first.
I appreciate the engineer actually proposing the property lines so that the structures conform to the setbacks. Appears that there's probably 20 feet from the barn structure, that separate structure to the property line. That's a good thing. I think there's plenty of room for turnaround for a fire truck. Hammerhead can be developed back there, which would be an improvement to that rear lot. I just see a lot of positive things for this lot line adjustment. I was trying to see if somehow they're trying to get a third lot, future lot in here, but I think our minimum parcel or minimum lot size is, what, 7,000 square feet?
7,200.
200 square feet, so I don't see it, you know, 14.4 on any one lot. I think I'm in support of the project. I think it's a good layout.
Commissioner Martin?
No comments.
I have no comments either. Seems like it was consistent to that neighborhood. Everyone over there's got a like a flag lot or an access easement, so it's consistent with the design of the neighborhood.
I don't have a problem with it either. I think it meets all the requirements for the application.
Okay. Anybody want to try a motion?
Nope. Chicken.
Yeah, I'll second it, but I'm not going to do it.
I move that the Planning Commission approve this resolution of the City of Rio Grande approving this lot line adjustment 15-001 located at 165 and 169 Pine Street.
Second.
Okay. Is there any discussion on the motion?
None.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Martin?
Aye.
Commissioner Mack?
Aye.
Commissioner Fowler Payne?
Yes.
And Vice Chair King?
Yes.
Okay. Moving along to another non-public hearing item, consideration of appointment for the Planning Commission, commanding commissioner to participate in an ad hoc committee for the selection of a realtor and list the sale of properties on Fahey and Pearwood. Staff report.
Sure. So back on March 24th, the City Council approved the formation of an ad hoc committee to select a realtor to list for sale the city-owned properties on Fay Avenue and Pearwood Avenue. The committee is supposed to be represented by the following: one council member, one member of the oversight board, one planning commissioner, and the community development director. So at this time, staff is requesting that the Planning Commission appoint one of its members to be on that ad hoc committee for the selection of a realtor.
I'm willing to volunteer my services if my fellow members should choose to appoint or nominate me.
I'll nominate you.
I was going to ask if anybody wanted to volunteer so we didn't have to go through a nomination process. You did it before I get a chance to ask.
My apologies, Chair.
So we have a volunteer and a second. I don't think we need an action. We just need to...
Just a voice vote that everyone is in concurrence with Commissioner Martin serving as the Planning Commissioner's representative on the ad hoc committee.
Everybody in favor of Mr. Martin, Commissioner Martin, as a appointee for the ad hoc committee?
Yes.
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 Yes. Motion carries. That was easy. Item 10, administrative decision since March 17th. Any questions of the commission on the actions?
No questions.
And that's consistent with the residentials and the garages in that area anyway.
Okay. Commissioner, comment, communications?
I just let you know that I did attend the ARC meetings, and there's a 44,000 square foot medical office building being proposed near that medical campus. And it's coming around the corner. Ryan Starr's doing it. It's looking good. But the ARC gave some good feedback to the applicant, and that will be coming down the pike shortly.
Where is it located?
Next to the existing hospital. There's one lot out there.
Next door or across
behind
the street?
Behind it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. East right off Fair Oaks, right there, Jason Fair Oaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's going to be one building in the middle. And parking all the way around, and it's a three-story building, so scale is going to be a challenge, but the way the architect had proposed it and the massing and stuff, I think it looks good.
Okay, staff communications?
Other than I can expand on the medical office building, so there is an application for a pre-application. It's an initial look, not a formal project yet, whereby the applicant wanted to gain a little perspective in terms of how a project like that would be met by the city. I believe at this point they're very eager to start that project, so I believe a formal application is imminent, in which case it will go through the entire review process, including ARC again and Planning Commission, and before final determination by the City Council. Other than that, we do have a couple items preliminarily scheduled for the second meeting of the month. So at this time, it looks like we will be having a second meeting this month.
Any other comments?
No comments.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second. So move.
Short and sweet.
We're done.